C-168. Number 9A.
Yesterday we were at the end of the lesson considering what has been revealed as the oneness of being, and through the book that then I published on the science of the oneness of being, showing that there is only one being, but that one being must be seen in its many facets of oneness, and that every chapter would indicate and present that oneness from another aspect, so that we would have a very rarefied understanding of what oneness includes and implies. Out of that subject resulted something quite naturally. Considering that there is only one being brought us naturally also to the point that there is only a one-valued logic, that therefore we must also investigate in the writings of Mrs. Eddy what kind of logic she was using. So the subject of logic came into the forefront, and for a while we were therefore investigating everything that Mrs. Eddy would say about logic and see how that deviated from the classical logic of the two-valued logic. And we could see that we must rectify or correct within our consciousness the way of reasoning in logical reasoning. Because classical logic accepts always two values, two opposite values, good and evil, truth and error, life and death, etc., as two values. But Mrs. Eddy would show that there is no duality, and that therefore when we were investigating the oneness of being, we could see that that did away with all kinds of concepts of duality. And so consequently, we could see that we cannot rely on the classical logic which had two values. How to solve it? Well, in our little book on the logic in Christian Science, which you can have, is it free literature or not? As a free literature, you have there a long exposition about logic. To put it just in a few terms, you could see that in Christian Science, good and evil are not two values. The whole teaching of Christian Science says good is a value, whereas evil is a counterfeit, is a suppositional lie. It is not a value, it is just a false concept. So that we don't have really to deal with two opposite realities, but just with one reality and a false concept of that reality, which is based on misunderstanding. So we try to reword the classical logic and say the classical logic for us applied to Christian Science is not the two-valued logic, but the two-conceptional logic. That there are two concepts about one and the same thing. One concept is true, the other concept is not true, is not valid. So it has no value. So in this way, what we resolved really the two-valued logic into a one-valued logic. But we also could see when looking over the whole chart with its many levels, now again the chart was coming in as a basis that said, well, if the chart has four levels of science, four levels of consciousness, are those levels of consciousness always thinking along the same logic or not? And so we began to see that even Mrs. Eddy would use many other kinds of logic in her textbook, and therefore we had to see that there is not just that one-valued logic that we have to contemplate, but also the infinite logic of which she speaks, namely that because nothing ever repeats itself in being, because God is infinite and nothing repeats, therefore there are infinite ways of reasoning and infinite logic, where no case was the same as the other, and no case could really compared with one with another, and therefore could not be measured with the same logic as another. Or she would speak of the logic of events, which is so important to show that what one does is actually not that what every other one must do. When two are doing the same thing, it is not the same thing. That's one of the wordings or that you have, I think, in English, that if two are doing the same thing, it's not the same thing. This is showing that there is not one definite logic, but the logic of events, that and that that's a true logic, because the Christ does not fulfill human logic. The Christ works according to its own plan, and that plan cannot be defined humanly and directed humanly. Well, in this way, I just indicate that that whole question of logic became a new subject of that multi-valued logic, that infinite logic, the logic of events. And finally, we could somehow see that every level of consciousness, every level of science has its own logic. And therefore, one has to be careful in judging a situation, that one doesn't judge a situation in terms of the old classical two-valued logic. This is, in practice, very important, because in practice we do not always agree with the other one. We have very different views on a situation than the other one, forgetting that the standpoint we take may be very different, that we are thinking out from a completely different level or standpoint, and that therefore, going out from another level, we use another logic, and that on every level there is a different logic, but every logic is right on that level. What is wrong is if we use a logic of one level and apply it to another level. That's wrong. So we can see, like we said, with the development of an atom to a molecule to a cell, from there to an organ, that every new level has its own laws, and so also its own logic. So this was another step in order to understand much better really the textbook, and see that Mrs. Eddy doesn't use just the classical logic, but quite a different logic, and that we had to adapt ourselves first to that new logic. So much about logic, but as I said, in that booklet you have a much broader and much more explicit presentation of that subject. But it was a turning point. And it was a turning point because also at the same time quite a different subject came into focus. It was very interesting that period of the late 60s, so much came into focus. Not only the levels became alive again, they were more or less forgotten since John Dawley just indicated them in the late 40s. Certainly in the late 60s, all that came alive again, as if it would have been rediscovered or seen really in its proper light for the first time. Also there, the whole idea of structuralism therefore came into consciousness, as we have seen. The whole idea of cybernetics was involved with the chart, and also the idea, as I said, of logic was involved in it. And at the same time, when studying John Dawley's books on the levels, suddenly a completely new subject came into focus, which was overlooked for 30 years. It was the subject of metaphysics versus science. And therefore I would like to talk a little bit just about the historical aspect of it. We have a booklet on the substance of it, namely that booklet of science and metaphysics in Christian Science, a booklet that I also would like you to study with a warm heart, with not only with your brain, not only with your thinking, but with the sense of investigating it and seeing it, the tremendous impact that it has on one's life, on one's attitude towards life and the world. This subject of metaphysics and science is something that was touched upon by John Dolittle in 1949 in his Oxford Summer School. And it's in a report on this Oxford Summer School. But it only takes up a few paragraphs or about a page when we count everything together, and has been completely forgotten. When I was studying the levels and the synonymous terms, how they are used on each level, I came across really that passage where John Dolittle was talking about the difference between metaphysics and science, making that terrific statement that he said, metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas. Therefore, metaphysics is then when we contemplate ideas. When we do that, what has been done in the Christian Science movement over 100 years, namely that we were exchanging objects for the ideas of soul. Therefore, we were contemplating from the human standpoint ideas instead of things, so exchanging things into thought and into ideas of soul. So we were doing that, and therefore we could see that this was a metaphysical approach. It was a contemplation of ideas in place of things and of material objects. He said, therefore, metaphysics is the contemplation of idea, whereas, and now he talks about science, whereas science is the contemplation of the infinite one, including all ideas. So science is when the infinite one contemplates his own ideas. So it is the standpoint of science, it's the standpoint of the infinite one, in contrast to metaphysics, where the standpoint is our human thinking, our human standpoint. So the divine standpoint, the absolute standpoint, is God contemplating himself, through ideas, and that he defined as science. Now this statement was he made already in 49, but it was only, and nobody was speaking about it. I met never anybody of his students and so on who would make a point out of this. Well, just as I did, I was always an ardent student of those, especially of those Oxford reports, and it never really made a hit. So when then suddenly in 1965, nearly 20 years later, I read it again or studied again, I could see that I had underlined it at the time when I was studying that book in the beginning of 1950, but had forgotten. I didn't see the impact of it and the importance of it. And only in 65, I suddenly saw that he made a difference without understanding really what that difference is. I remember as that I went around always thinking, now what on earth does John Dolittle mean by that difference of metaphysics and science? I was talking it over with my sister, who had a very good scientific consciousness for Christian Science, and talking it over, and she wasn't quite sure either. We spent a nice holiday in the south of Italy, in Ischia, lying in a nice warm swimming pool and talking to each other about what is the difference between metaphysics and science. And then finally somehow the light broke and we began to see the terrific impact that it had. The terrific impact that was also something with which apparently Mrs. Eddy had labored for a long time. Namely, if we think back of what we have been seeing in the main revisions of the textbook, we do remember that at the beginning, in the second edition, she was comparing, really, metaphysics with mesmerism, and had then two different chapters. One was called Mesmerism, the other was called Metaphysics. And her whole tonality in that second edition was to make a clear distinction between mesmerism, which was actually ordinary metaphysics, mentalism, and the distinction between then metaphysics, which she put the M with a capital M, made a special chapter on metaphysics, and you remember in that chapter on metaphysics she had already those 19 points of the platform in it, therefore a very high presentation of her discovery. But still, she didn't speak about science, she still spoke about metaphysics, but with a capital M. Science still was mentioned very seldom with a small s, and little by little that began to change. The more she began to see something about metaphysics and its bad effect as mesmerism, she would see much more also on the other side that actually what she was presenting was not just metaphysics, but she exchanged that term metaphysics for the term science as she went on, so as to really show that the two opponent things are really mesmerism on one side or metaphysics on one side, and on the other side, science. When we come to the last edition of that we have today, we see that Mrs. Eddy uses metaphysics without giving an adjective to that metaphysics, always in a negative sense. She has not one single statement when she speaks about metaphysics without characterizing it through adjective, that every time she uses it in a very negative sense. And this is quite astonishing, because I'm sure that most Christian scientists today, they will use the term metaphysics still for science and put it synonymous with science, that they say we study metaphysics or things like that, not knowing that they do the very opposite, that metaphysics is always negative, except that she would attribute to metaphysics some qualification, like divine metaphysics, like scientific metaphysics, like the metaphysics of Christian Science, like Christian metaphysics. Then she uses metaphysics in a positive way. But even then you can see that the term metaphysics in the positive way she uses perhaps about 60 times in the textbook, whereas science she uses about 1,000 times. And you can see quite from really only the statistical point of view that the main accent lies on science and not on metaphysics. That, therefore, what John Dolley would say, that metaphysics as such is the contemplation of ideas, sometimes also the contemplation of evil, whereas science is the contemplation of the infinite one, including its infinite idea, including metaphysics, including that metaphysics which is derived from science. It is that system of ideas that has its origin in science and not its origin in the human. It's not a humanly conceived metaphysics as most of metaphysics is. Whenever you think about the difference between metaphysics and science, Just think about perhaps one big statement that is a guiding line in the textbook, where Mrs. Eddy says that works on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched. She says all works on metaphysics don't touch the main point. Namely, which is the main point? They never crown the power of mind, capital M, as the Messiah. Meaning that only science, which goes out from the infinite, which is mind, from the infinite mind, has a Messiah, has a Christ. So that all other metaphysics that goes out from the human thinking has no Christ in it. Therefore, you can see why the students so often use metaphysics, namely the thinking of ideas and the thinking of how ideas relate to other ideas, how they hold fast to ideas in place of illusions, how they are thinking of reversing, really, in metaphysics, the objects of sense for ideas, how they are metaphysically thinking, what is the idea behind an object, behind the situation. All that is metaphysics and has no Christ. That's the point. And therefore no Savior, and therefore not a Christian Savior, and therefore no demonstration. And if there is some kind of demonstration in metaphysics, it is just the bigger power to destroy the lesser power. That the power of idea and of willpower and the holy uplifting faith is destroying its opposite. But it is not science. So metaphysics has no science, no Christ. Whereas the Christ standpoint has a science standpoint has a Christ. It really crowns the divine mind as the Messiah. So from that insight into the difference of metaphysics and science, then I began to develop what you know about the 8 steps from the personal I to the divine I, those 8 steps that are showing how the beginner begins to go along a clearly defined logical way, first through the metaphysical steps, in order to reach at all finally the tone of science. When he has reached the tone of science, then from the infinite one, from the standpoint of science, one can go down that ladder again through the 8 rungs, right down, and so give to human thought really a divine metaphysics. So when science translates itself to the human, it translates itself as divine science, as metaphysics, or as scientific metaphysics, or as Christian metaphysics, and then that kind of metaphysics is naturally right. But it is then the translation of science to the realm of metaphysics. So that the chapter on recapitulation does that, and she said that scientific metaphysics pervades the statements because she goes out from God, from the very first question, what is God, and deduces from God then to the point of metaphysics. Yes. So perhaps to add this one little point, I would say, therefore, we must see that even if I have shown those 8 steps that go first through the, you know them, if you don't know them, it is in the study aid on page 58. If you look that up, you see those 8 steps that go from the personal I to the I am. And it shows the first 4 steps in the realm of metaphysics, then touching the realm of science with another 4 steps. But that tabulation has perhaps some kind of a danger, because it could be interpret this so that that one thinks I have first to go through the first four steps in metaphysics before I can touch science. But that is not the reasoning. The reasoning is that we have to clear up within our consciousness first the metaphysical aspect of being, so that our consciousness is first cleansed, so to say, of a false sense, of a material sense, and a false sense of things, so that we are ready to start out then on a clear basis in studying Christian Science. We must not forget that the textbook does not show that step-by-step evolution in metaphysics. The textbook is a textbook of science, not of metaphysics. And therefore, right from the very first page of the textbook, Mrs. Eddy starts out with science. Namely, on the first page, you already have that the divine mind knows our thought, and that divine mind molds and exalts our thought and our desires, so that everything is the divine mind knows about our thoughts, and nothing is unknown to the divine mind. So actually the textbook starts out with science and not with metaphysics. So this is a very important point that came out, and it is today, say, a very important subject, because it gives, so to say, the entry, so to say, opens really the door to that important step that we make today, which is in my little red book on the spiritual breakthrough to the 1,000-year period, because, you know, there it is shown that the 6,000 and 7,000 year period is that period where we go out from science and see that science is really the idea, and that science in the 6,000 year period is presenting itself through the tools of science, so that the symbol is also science, so the idea is science and the symbol is science. And therefore, in order to go out from science and have the idea of science, we first must get rid of the false belief that it has anything to do with a metaphysical approach, so that then we can enter into the 7,000-year period and just think in terms of the capitalized terms, therefore always out from the infinite one and never, so to say, ascending through the various steps to the infinite one. Yes.